For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We want to try to beat the Methodists to the chicken shack this morning, so we'll get right into the message. Amen. Amen. Surely you mothers aren't cooking today. Surely not. But some probably are. Amen. Thank God for crock pots. Yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. And Paul says this in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, he's writing to Timothy, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, verse 6, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so Paul's writing to Timothy here, and my text is found in verse 5. He says, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice. And I'm persuaded that in thee also. I want to speak this morning on thank God for moms. Amen. Thank God for mothers. And let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for that godly heritage that we have. And in many ways, it's due greatly in part to the influence of our godly mothers. Thank you for the mothers of the Bible. We think of Jochebed of old, who hid young Moses there in the flags by the River Nile. Lord, we think of a Sarah. We think of a Rebecca. We think of a Rachel. We thank, dear God, of Mary. And we think of Hannah, who prayed for a son, and you gave her Samuel. And Lord, we know the influence of a Samuel, and on and on. We think of Naomi and many sad stories throughout the Scriptures, but we thank you for the mothers of the Bible. And then, Lord, we thank you for the mothers that are here today, and we thank you for the mother that you gave us. And Lord, how grateful we are. And Lord, I pray that today we would thank you for our mothers, be grateful and full of gratitude, whether our mothers are in glory or whether they're here still with us. Help us to honor them today. For Lord, you said, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Help us to honor them, whether they're present or in heaven. Lord, help us to honor them and honor their memory. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul's writing to young Timothy here, of course. And as he writes Timothy, he makes an amazing statement here in the Scriptures. And this is his second letter to Timothy. And of course, he mentions a number of things that he says. And later he would say about Timothy, he says, I have no man like-minded. He writes about Timothy being like-minded. He calls him a fellow laborer to the truth. He calls him his own son in the faith. See, he has a lot of good things to say about Timothy, but he's trying to prepare Timothy for a service for the Lord, for his service for God. And actually, as he writes 2 Timothy here, he's preparing to go to heaven. He's not going to be long on this earth. And he's saying to Timothy, he says, Timothy, I'm getting ready to push away from the dock. I'm getting ready to fold the tent. I'm getting ready to go to heaven. And he's giving his last words. You think about the last words of a great man. And he writes here and he says, Timothy, I want to give you some thoughts. And of course, all of this is given by God through Paul to Timothy. And he's writing there, and of course we read these words and we, you know, we try to encourage young preachers and young servants of the Lord today, but how true they are. And he says, as Paul comes by, and we're not sure whether Paul plucked the fruit from the tree or whether the tree had already been plucked when he came by and found Timothy there in Acts chapter 16. But Timothy was a fine young man. But why was he a fine young man? Why was he like-minded? Why was he one who had a great heart for God? Because he had a great mother. And he had a great grandmother. And the Bible tells us about them here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. And Paul said this. He said, Timothy, I remember that faith that you have. And he said, that faith that you have dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois. In fact, this is the only place that Lois is mentioned in the Bible. Aren't you glad? I'm sure Lois in heaven right now is saying, thank God I didn't do something stupid to be remembered in the Scriptures forever. You know, like Euodius and Syntyche in the church at Philippi and others, you know, Jezebel or something. But this is the only place that we see Lois mentioned in the Bible. And the grandmother of young Timothy. And then his mother Eunice is mentioned. And so we see that Paul is thanking God for the influence of a mother and a grandmother. A Eunice and a Lois. And I think he's saying, Timothy, thank God for your mother. Thank God for your grandmother. And I thank God for you, Timothy. And I thank God for their influence upon you. I want to give you four thoughts about mothers here in this passage this morning. First of all, I want to begin with an unrecognized father. An unrecognized father. You know, a lot of times mothers do a lot of the great work. Mothers do a lot of the legwork. Mothers do a lot of the Lord's work, and the dads get all the credit. That ain't fair. But you know what? God is keeping a record, mothers. God's keeping a record. And He'll not forget your work and labor of love for the Lord in your home. But first of all, in this passage, I want us to remember Timothy's unrecognized father. In fact, maybe we'd say it like this, his unrecognized spiritual father. Who was that? It was Paul. And Paul here, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says in verse 2, he says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. In Acts chapter 16, we're introduced to Timothy, and it says, and you don't have to turn there, but in Acts 16 verse 1, it says, then came he to Derbe on their second missionary journey, the beginning of their second missionary journey. He says that he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, Timothy, the son of a certain woman, the son of Eunice. She had influence upon Timothy, even if it was but for a short time. And it says, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So Timothy's dad was Greek, his mother was Jewish, and they had come to Christ and had influenced him. And it says in verse 2 of Acts 16, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of his Greek, his Gentile mixed blood, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew not, they all knew that his father was a Greek, and that would have been a problem. But notice here, Timothy's unrecognized father. His father was Greek. Many believe that his father had died at a young age, and perhaps that Paul, who became his spiritual father, really had influence upon him, much like a real dad would have. And we see that as we read the text here. He says some pretty amazing things about young Timothy. That Timothy later would become pastor of the great church there in Ephesus. But back in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, he calls him my own son in the faith. Boy, it's a blessed thing to have some Timothys in your life. It's a blessed thing. Some of you are spiritual dads to some Timothys. It's a wonderful thing to pour your life into some Timothys and to some Timothys' wives to be. And to be able to pour yourself into them. But he calls him here in verse 2, my dearly beloved son. In verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing, he said, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. He was the unrecognized dad of Timothy. I mean, he had put himself into Timothy. He had poured himself into Timothy. He had taught Timothy the things of God. He had prayed with Timothy. He had prayed for Timothy. He had a burden for Timothy. He had a vision for Timothy. And he says in verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, he missed Timothy like a father would, being mindful of thy tears, and that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. So we see here the unrecognized father of Timothy. It was the Apostle Paul. Man, I mean, what a great story. But I want you to know, secondly, not only Timothy's unrecognized father, but Timothy's unfeigned faith. This is where mom comes in. This is where dad comes in. Unfeigned faith. Notice, if you will, in verse 5, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. That word unfeigned means sincere. That word unfeigned means genuine. That word unfeigned means unfaked. It's the real deal. And Paul looks at Timothy. He remembers Timothy. He prays for Timothy. He's poured himself into Timothy. And he loves Timothy like a dad would love Timothy, and probably in many ways had become a dad to Timothy. And he says, Timothy, he says, I remember the real deal, the real faith that I've seen in you. Thank God for your faith, Timothy, the unfeigned faith. And notice it says in verse 5, that dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother Eunice. Dwelt first there. Dwelt first in them. Dwelt first. What a blessing to have in your family a grandmother or a grandpa or a mother or dad or a great grandpa or a great grandfather, grandmother, that the faith that was passed down to you dwelt first in their heart. And that's the way God has it. Generation to generation to generation, passing this spiritual baton, the Word of God, passing the faith of our fathers living still to the next generation, until Jesus comes and the trumpet sounds and we're out of here. But we see his unbridled love, and we see the unfeigned faith of Timothy. I want you to notice, first of all, his faith was real. He said, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. You know, real faith that's real gets in the heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then, of course, there's a lot of bad things come out of the heart. But salvation is a matter of the heart. And because of Eunice and Lois and then Paul that came by and took that fruit that was ripe, his faith was real. Let me ask you this morning, is your faith real? You say, Grandma was a Christian, but is your faith real? Has it gotten in you? Has Jesus gotten in you? Is he in you? You say, Mom's faith was a great faith, but what about your faith? Is it real? Is he real to you? Is he real to you? Say, I've got mom's Bible, got grandma's Bible, got great grandma's Bible, but do you have great grandma's Savior? Notice his faith was real. He said, when I remember the unfeigned faith that dwelt first in your grandmother and then in your mother, but he says his faith was real. It dwelt in your heart, Timothy. His faith was not only real, but his faith had to be received. You know, God has no grandchildren. Timothy had a grandma, and Timothy had a mother, and Timothy had a father, but God has no grandchildren. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. You have to be born again. And so his faith was received, and our faith must be received. I thank God for the heritage that many of you have here in our church. But just because you come here And you have generation after generation. You can look back in your life and remember those that poured their life into you and family and friend, all of that. But that doesn't make you a believer. You understand that. I think you understand that. But I think we need to remind ourselves that his faith had to be received. His faith was real. And notice this, his faith was revealed. Where was it revealed? It was revealed through Eunice and Lois and Dad and Paul. But it was revealed that light that shines the furthest always shines at home. The light that shines the furthest shines the brightest at home, Dr. Rice used to say. It was through his grandma. It was through his mom. That faith that was revealed. I think of back in Psalm 128. I love this psalm. And Psalm 128 says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands." Speaking of the man, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. But he says in verse 3 of Psalm 128, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house." You think about the influence of a mother within a home. "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about the table." The strength of the home, Dad. But the structure of the home, Mom. And the spice of the home are the children, the olive plants. You know, olives have kind of grown on me. I used to not like olives. I know some of you drink olive juice. Lord help you. Man. I mean, I've kind of transitioned into liking olives through the black ones, you know. I just still don't not real crazy about the green, but I could take some black ones, but I don't drink the juice, you know. But there's something about olives that adds spice to things. They add flavor to things. That's what children do. You know, a dinner table, he's describing a table here. A dinner table is just a piece of wood without children around it. We've got a big long table in our dining room. We could take the leaf out of it, but I don't want to. I like to picture it at Christmas time and other Thanksgiving and other times when all the grandkids are in and families around. Oh yeah, and our son and his wife. And mom and dad and others when they can come. But it's just a piece of wood. But it represents something in the Bible. When you have children around that, man, it adds spice to it. It adds a buzz to it. It adds a joy to it. There's something about family in the home. Hey, let them spill some stuff on it. Praise God. That'll be a good memory. We got memories all over downstairs, don't we, honey? I mean, there's a stain right here. I remember that spill. There's a stain over here. There's a stain over there. Cindy, when are we going to replace this carpet when they get old and they're not spilling stuff anymore? You know. You can get that good furniture when the kids all move out but then they're going to bring their kids in. You know what I'm saying? You know. Amen. But the structure of the home, notice here, it says, "Thy wife," Psalm 128, verse 3, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house." The wife adds beauty and structure. The wife completes the home. No doubt about that. I mean, look, our homes would be chaos without mothers in them. I mean, mothers, they set the schedule. Mothers, you know, they know what time the teachers' meetings are. Mothers know what time the principal's meeting might be. And mothers know what time the ball practice, what time the game is. That mothers know when they make up the grocery list. Mothers, I mean, listen, the least we can do is fill the tank with gas, you sorry men. Mothers add that structure and schedule. The Bible says they're like a fruitful vine. They're like a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. I mean, our homes would be a mess without our mothers. I mean, let's just be honest, without the wives. Timothy's unfeigned faith, it had been revealed in his home. God give us some Eunices. God, give us some Loises again within our homes. His faith had been revealed. His faith was received. His faith was real. But their faith was rewarded. Their faith was rewarded. Let me ask you, do you have that unfeigned, genuine faith? You say, preacher, I prayed a prayer, but do you have that unfeigned faith? Certainly, a prayer is a vehicle through which we connect with God. But have you been born again? You say, I was baptized, but have you been born again? You say, I've had a good home all these years, but have you been born again? I remember when I got saved at 16, we had a good home. Dad worked hard. Mom worked hard. I mean, we had a wonderful home and we thought we were happy, but the thing that we were missing was Jesus. And our home became complete when Christ became the head of that home. Timothy's unfeigned faith and Timothy's unrecognized father. But notice number three, Timothy's unusual foundation. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. In the latter part, it says, that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Now think about this. This is first century Christianity. The first century. This is when, you know, Paul and Timothy joined the missionary team in the second missionary journey. This is first century groundbreaking Christianity. And as I read this, I think of Eunice and Lois, and I realize that they didn't have much time to be an influence. But he did say that the unfeigned faith that Timothy had dwelt first in their hearts. They didn't have a lot of time. Think about it. They couldn't have had a lot of time. The church was young. The church was being persecuted. The church was being dispersed. But the church was changing the world, and it was accused of turning the world upside down. And I believe this is not an overstatement, an embellishment. It was because of godly mothers like Eunice and Lois that God excited about the things of God. They didn't have much time. They couldn't have had much time. They were new converts themselves, but when Paul came by, they were already pouring themselves into a young man named Timothy that would become a pastor at the church at Ephesus and would go on missionary journeys. They probably had not seen generational spiritual heritage. They didn't have time to establish that. But let me say this. We should. We should see it. We should see it. When we look back at our families and our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, our great-great-grandmothers, our mothers who left us a spiritual heritage and our fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, Eunice and Lois had very little time to pour themselves, but they made most, they redeemed the time that they did have, and they made a difference in Timothy's life. But what are we seeing at Ripley Baptist Temple in 2023? Now, I'm going to preach a little bit here, but let me just say this. Let me just say this, moms and grandmas, we've had opportunity to pour ourselves in our children. Now, I realize children sometimes get a hard heart and they become prodigal and they make their own decisions and they move out and they do their own thing and all of that. But we should in 2023 be seeing something left behind. We should be leaving an unusual foundation for our children. Dads, God help us, dads and grandpas. Oh, I love to spoil my children. I love to spoil my grandchildren. Yeah, but Dr. Dobson, you say you can't spoil them with love. You pour something into them other than money and other than cars and other than land and other than all these things. Pour the Word of God and the things of God into your children. We who know the Lord, we've had 20 centuries. We're now in the 21st century. We've got opportunity to make a difference. Are we making a difference? I mean, listen, think about this. I mean, would you rather your grandchildren say, boy, grandma's cool, but is grandma a Christian? Boy, grandma's funny, but is grandma faithful? We're not raising TikTok children. We're not raising children for the world. We're raising children for a heavenly home. God help us this morning. Some of you mothers and grandmothers need to quit trying to be a buddy to those children and be a mother and a grandmother to those children. God help us. God help us. I mean, they left an unusual foundation. They couldn't have been saved for very long. But what will you tell your kids? Well, boy, your grandma, she sure was funny. Your grandma let us do everything. Your grandma, grandma was cool. You can fill in the blank there, but was grandma a godly grandma? I mean, listen, we're living in a day. We talked about in Sunday school today. We're living in a day. We're seeing this unisex movement and all of that. It's coming to fruition. We're seeing it before our eyes and the transgender movement and all of that stuff. And none of that is of God. I mean, God made two sexes, male and female. And He put them together in a home. I mean, God help us that we have to preach about these kind of things, especially on Mother's Day. But I'm telling you something today. What will your children, how will your children remember you? How about grandma was strong in the faith? Grandma had a wonderful sense of humor. Yes, grandma laughed. Yes, grandma would give us, yeah, I mean, we do that stuff. Yeah. Was grandma faithful? Was mom faithful? Timothy's unusual foundation. I want you to think about this, Timothy's unprecedented future. He writes here in verse 6, because of Eunice and because of Lois, he said in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. He said, Timothy, stir. He said, do something with your faith. Now, look. I realize sometimes teenagers, they can't wait to get out, you know, I've heard boys say, bless God, they're not telling me what to do, and they go join the Marine Corps, you know. There'll be a time, though, you'll remember, and thank God, I hope you do today, but what's been given you, there's a great responsibility to do something with it. He said, Timothy, he said, that which you've been given by Eunice and Lois and myself, he said, stir it up. Keep it stirred up. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us. He said, Timothy, you've got an unprecedented future. Don't let fear overcome you and overwhelm you. The fear of the future, the fear of the culture. We're living in a day, I mean, when preachers preach the word and people stand up and take a stand about what the scripture makes a very clear designation about, you know, we have to pay fines and go to sensitivity training. Hey, listen, the Baptists have been the off-scouring of this world for years. Nobody's sending me a check because I said something about, they said something about the Baptists. And I don't require it. I mean, listen, if some of these groups, hadn't planned to say this, but I'm going to anyway. Hey, if some of these groups, they say, well, we want equal footing, we want equal rights and all of that. Hey, listen, if you're going to do that, then you'd better grow a backbone. Well, they said something bad about me. They said something bad about me. They need to go to sensitivity training and let us teach them about us. Hey, I'm not getting any fine checks for what they've said about the Baptists during the Reformation and all that time. Listen, the Baptists have always been the off-scouring Lord. I don't have my thumb in my mouth this morning. It's time that we grew a backbone and found some hide, some thick hide again. help us. I just felt a burst of toxic masculinity. And it's not even Father's Day. Well, we're sensitive. We're sensitive about, you said, you used a bad word. Man, listen, I grew up on Elk River. I've been called everything, friend. I mean, I've got scars on my knuckles. I've got scars on my face. I've got scars on my knees. God help us. I mean, are we raising a bunch of wimps? God, give us some men. Give us some women that will embrace our femininity and embrace our masculinity and embrace the traditional home and embrace the Bible and embrace the things of God. By the way, God loves you. I just want to tell you that. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He said, Timothy, you have an unprecedented future. He said in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. You're going to need to be strong, Timothy. And he says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's what God's given us here to do. And he said in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know why Timothy was able to endure hardness? Because of a Eunice and a Lois in his life. They made a difference in his life because of a Paul who became his spiritual father. I mean, look, he said, Timothy, it's going to be hard out there. It's going to be hard out there. You're going to have to endure hardness. You have an unprecedented future. But see, he said, be a good soldier. Be a good soldier. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. We're raising children for an unprecedented future. We're sending children into a generation. Our children are letters of love to the next generation that we will never see. May God help us. We only get one crack at it. You that have been raised with godly parents and grandparents, remember, you have a great responsibility to them. Carry that faith forward. You have an unprecedented future. An unprecedented future. I mean, be a faithful mother. Be a faithful feminine family force for a fruitful future. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? I believe there's still some out there. I think I'm looking at some today. Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field. You say, I'm looking for a career. Here's a good one. She considereth a field, and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it. She delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be and should be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Where are the virtuous women? Where are the virtuous women? May God help us. Thank God for mothers. Let me challenge you today to be a Eunice and a Lois to your children.